Well, we're told, Roger, that the children tragically dying in the flood is Trump's fault.
Of course.
Right.
What isn't?
Yeah, everything is Trump's fault. Except there's one problem. If you can look at the headline in the New York Post, the front cover story today. Texas officials scrapped flash flood alley warning system before 27 were killed at Camp Mystic because it was too expensive. Officials in Kerr County, Texas, where 27 campers that we know of so far and counselors at Christian summer camp were killed in the catastrophic flooding, had discussed installing a flood warning system along the banks of the Guadalupe River, known as Flash Flood Alley, since this flash flood's been a problem. Wow. Probably not a place you should put a summer camp.
Does that tell you anything? Yeah.
Yeah, but it was rejected as too expensive. Kerr County is home to around 50,000 people. They'd looked into installing sirens, river gauges, and other modern communications tools along the waterway in 2017, but ultimately decided against it.
I had not heard that. That is amazing.
Yeah, listen to this. This is Kerr County Commissioner Tom Moser. We can do all the all the water level monitoring we want, but if we don't get in that information to the public in a timely way, then the whole thing is just not worth it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So earlier on the show, we had it is eerie how children were swept away in a deadly but silent, because think of it, it's the middle of the night, you can't see it, you're sleeping.
No, it's like the 1977 case of it, Toccoa Falls, 4 o'clock in the morning. They never knew what hit them.
I didn't know that happened there.
Oh, yeah, it was the college up there. And a wall of water came down from an overwhelmed dam. And it was the classic case, came over the falls into the residential area of the college. I think the toll ended up being 35.
Wow.
Out of that. No hope whatsoever for them.
Well, that's exactly what happened on the Guadalupe River.
Oh, sure.
In 1987.
Yeah, 87.
1987 at another Christian camp.
Yeah.
The water will sneak up on you. It doesn't make any noise, and it gradually rises. New York Post reporting this morning, they tragically found one father. He had been trying to hold on to his two babies, and he was in a tree. He would not let go of him. He held them so tightly, they found him dead with the two children, still gripping them.
Wow.
And, you know, you end up in a situation like that. He had people begging him to hand the babies down.
Oh, sure.
But the rushing water they were standing in was so strong, he was afraid to. And, you know, as a parent, you'd make a terrible decision. Do you take the risk they get swept away with your child, or do you hold on and your gut instinct is to hold on? So he did.
Yeah. Can you imagine being even faced remotely with a dilemma, even approaching that in life? Yeah.
You know, what's interesting about it, too, is, you know, when you have kids, you raise them, you try to get them to do their chores and be responsible and study for stuff and turn things in on time or whatever. Do you never picture those children ending up in a situation where not only can you not help them or advise them, but they're fighting for their lives and they're on their own? I imagine all throughout human history, hundreds of thousands of years ago and forward, many children face these situations, but that's not typical in modern society.
Oh, no.
Here's these are two brothers who, this is kind of a fascinating story. They're at the camp. They were in their bunkhouse. And they were watching the water rise and rise and rise and rise. So they went higher and higher, but then it hit the rafters. And then you're like, wow, if this goes to the top, there's no way out, right?
No place to go.
Mom's not there to tell you. Dad's not there to tell you. You're going to have to go into the water and swim out. As scary as that is, you could drown doing it. And you're going to have to, you've seen this water coming by, you're going to have to go out in it. But they figured it out. One was 9 and one was 11.
Tell me they went through the roof.
Well, I'll let them tell the story.
I'm one of the campers from Camp Lahana, one of the camps that flooded. And I had a firsthand view of the flood. And so the cabins were flooding and the walls were like, they broke down. And all of the campers in those cabins had to go up on the rafters and they had to wait there until they could swim out. And my brother here, he had to swim out of his cabin.
The flood started getting bigger, and it was going up to, we had bunk beds in our cabins, and it was going up to the top bunk, and we had one choice, and we had to swim out of our cabins.
What time was it? It was, just
it was like, we woke up at
2 a.m. Yeah, we had to wake up at like 4 a.m. But on the way here, we saw all of like the other camps destroyed, like obliterated.
And where were can you tell me, how'd you guys get out of there? They put you guys on buses or jabs?
Yes, yeah, we had to get on a bus.
Yes, we had to get on a bus. We were in other cabins for, like cabins on hills for about 17 hours.
We hosted a cabin.
Buses get here.
I wish he'd let the little one talk more, but the whole backstory there, the little one who is 9 had to make that decision. Yeah. You know what? This is going to go all the way to the roof. Yeah. I got to swim. I'm going to have to go underwater and swim out.
No matter what, yeah.
And so, you know what? Mom is not there. Dad is not there. You can whine. You could cry. You can break down. You got to grow up real fast to make a decision to save your own life. And I always wonder, what would my kids do? How would they do if I wasn't there? What would, you know, would they freak out? Would they break down? Would they have that eerie calm? How, and you can't prepare your kids for it.
Yeah. And a question that I have in particular in the case with Camp Mystique and other structures along the Guadalupe, how do they get insurance?
Excellent question, especially given the history. Imagine.
I mean, down on, and I lived and worked in media in Texas for years down on, like, the Brazos down around Waco, which is a much more stable area. There are places down there, beautiful areas, that I'm sure subdivision developers literally salivate over, where you can't build two sticks because you couldn't possibly get flood insurance under any circumstances, but it happens. Of course, people still build on below the dunes on coastal areas.
So yeah.
We learn very slowly and very costly.
Yeah. This time, hopefully, the lesson will stick. Meanwhile, Roger, this is very interesting. National Review, another subject.
Yeah.
Everybody should read this. Democracy experts scorned by Trump are plotting to sabotage democracy. That's a nice way to put it. They're plotting to overthrow the country. The, you know, all those people inside USAID,
oh, yeah,
and how they're part of, basically they are the cash arm of the CIA overthrowing governments.
Star Chamber.
Yeah, and they do all the little things like starting the fake publications, sure, and mm-hmm, organizing the fake groups and training them violently. It's all that stuff. Okay, well, there was a headline in a news outlet called Notice. Trump fired them. Now they're plotting to stop him. They're USAID employees. And they have basically found a gathering point, and they're interviewing one of them. They are plotting to overthrow the United States government. They're very open about it. Take it from those of us who worked in authoritarian countries. We've become one, said a currently employed federal official who spoke to Notice on condition of an enemy. So he's inside the federal government.
Of course.
They were so quick to disband AID, as in USAID, the group that supposedly instigates color revolutions, but they've done a very foolish thing. You just released a bunch of well-trained, and I would add, liberal lunatic individuals into your population. If you kept our offices going,
we could at least watch them.
And had us play solitaire in the office. It might have been safer for your regime.
They were widely known as almost ludicrously corrupt, but at least, you know, that at the time, you were right. They were in one place, and they come and go. And
they hated America and were funding our enemies while our soldiers were fighting them. They gave $2.3 billion to Taliban total.
There you go.
Anyway, so here's National Review. Sorry, what? I've read this 5 times now, and I can see no way of comprehending it other than as an insane threat to bring down the American government. It is. The official mentions color revolutions. He mentions being representative of a bunch of well-trained individuals. And then he says that if the president of the United States wishes to keep his regime, he ought not have fired them.
Okay. Well, so it is false, of course, again.
Naturally, this represents a flagrant inversion of how our government system is supposed to work. We cannot have a democratic republic if the hired help responds to being let go by endeavoring to stage a coup.
Yeah, well, amazing. And I was rereading the Axios article on the Democrat members of Congress, and my favorite, I think, is the one who is a Democrat House member who tells Axios, I actually attended a meeting when he's talking about his constituents. They say he told them, when they light a fire, my thought is to grab an extinguisher. That's the lawmaker speaking. He says he was told by someone in the audience, have you tried gasoline?
Here it is. Yes. A ninth Democratic lawmaker told Axios, I actually said in a meeting, when they light a fire, my thought is to grab an extinguisher. And someone at the table said, have you tried gasoline?
And on top of my naive question about insurance is, you know, there are state, in most states and in the federal government, inciting a riot is a crime.
Well, but that's only if you're not a liberal. If you're a Democrat in good standing, it's no, it's speech. And Donald Trump should not interfere with their speech.
Okay.
No, it was explained exhaustively on CNN during the Summer of Love. I can send you some clips. You know how it works.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. But if you know, for the rest of it, just to be clear, if you're listening today and you're a new listener, you don't get to do this, okay? They get to do this.
Yes, be careful with that one. Yeah.
But no, what you're watching is hand-to-hand combat. This is a civil war. You're watching it in Alvarado, where they attempted to execute the ICE officers. You're watching it in Portland, where they tried to block them into the building and set it on fire and murder them. And you're watching it yesterday in McAllen, Texas, where they, liberal lunatics, this one in full combat gear, opened fire on ICE agents who were just arriving for work.
Mm-hmm. One of the officers in stable condition, having fortunately survived a bullet wound from that one.
Yeah, they thought they were firing at an ICE agent, apparently, but it was a city police officer.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? Last time, we didn't put it down. We didn't. Trump let them run around. Remember, they did $2 billion worth of damage. That was the final estimate for the Summer of Love from the insurance industry.
Yeah.
Largest amount of destruction dollar for dollar ever on U.S. soil, with the exception of the Civil War. Only the Civil War was bigger. And they were not prosecuted federally. Trump didn't do it. And I think part of the reason he didn't was because he was under 50%. It was very wobbly. We were going into a election. He's putting it down this time. So you know what this is, Roger? This is like if you have kids and you let them get away one time was slapping their brother and stealing his ice cream.
Yeah.
Now the kid's out of control and you got to reassert your authority. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of violence and screaming in the house as you reassert your authority. But eventually things calm down.
Eventually.
When they're all in prison timeout, whichever comes first.
Without precedent doesn't mean anything anymore.
No, it doesn't.